Okay, so welcome everybody. Today is June 20th, 2016. I'm with the October 2015 Life Coach Training Group. This is Coach the Coach, Practicum 4, Class 2. I'm with Room F. Can you guys hear the dog barking?
Yes. Yes, a little bit.
I'm staying with a friend. I apologize. And this dog has been sound asleep. And I came downstairs to sit at the table. I'm alone here. And the dog just ran outside. Let's see if he's going to stop. If he starts again and you hear it, please let me know. And I'll go back up and sit on the bed in the guest room. Because I don't want us to have any disturbances. Okay. So, let me just give you a little intro. You had a good time with Javo last week? With class?
Yeah.
She's great. So, I posted this on the forum before that class, and, you know, this is your opportunity to put everything together and begin to use, now the dog is right next to me. I'm probably going to have to move here in a minute. No, you lay down. Lay down.
Gary's making me laugh.
I know. He wants me to take him for a walk. Be quiet. Be quiet. I've been here for 2 hours. Oh, gosh. Let's see if he goes and lays down. Oh, it looks like he's going into his room. Okay. Anyway, this is your opportunity to put together everything that you've been learning. So the way I like to approach when I'm working with somebody is I think of my Martha Beck kind of methodology, square one, square two, square three. I've hardly ever coached anybody that is square four. Typically, people are in square one, sometimes square two, three. But, you know, feel free to make your own judgment. There is no typical. I meet them where they are. If they tell me, if they know Martha Beck methodology and they say I'm in square two or square three and I really think they're in square one, I'll just go with what they say and I'll start using square two, square three tools with them. And before long, the square one thinking that's getting in the way, it will reveal itself and they won't be able to move forward very far if you've got a lot of unaddressed square one stuff going on. So I don't worry about that too much. That was a tip my coach gave me back in the dark ages when I started doing this work, and it was a good tip. Just meet people where they think they are. If they don't think they're anywhere, and mostly when you coach people who are not part of the Martha Beck community, they have no idea of the change cycle or anything like that, then I just make my own assessment. This sounds like a X kind of problem. Do I hear a lot of limiting beliefs? Am I hearing a big dream? Is somebody trying to take some action in the world and put forth a plan moving forward with it? So those kind of questions help me determine what kind of tools to select and use. Although, that being said, I will use metaphor and dream work in square one problems. And sometimes somebody might be in square three, but a limiting belief will pop up, you know, just enough to hang them up and get them in the way, get in the way of their forward progress. So I might do a little brief square one work there using the work, find the thought and dissolve it, and then we move forward with the plan. So does that make sense, you guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get some volunteers and get you guys coaching in a few minutes. Because this is practicum 4, I'm pretty much going to let you go. Now, if you want my help along the way, please ask for it. Don't hesitate to sit with something uncomfortable. I'm here to help you. If I think that you're getting way off or might be heading in a different direction, or, you know, there's some kind of teaching moment that's going on, I may jump in and have a little conversation with you. And if that happens, please don't make it mean that I think you're doing something wrong, or that it's critical or a judgment. It really isn't. My job is here to help. So with that being said, who would like to coach, particularly those of you who didn't coach last time, or even, you know, the last few classes? Who's willing to step up and coach? Oh, don't everybody jump in at once. Let's see, Diane, I'm looking at the last three or four classes here. I don't see that you've participated. How about coaching? Diane?
She's in Sri Lanka.
Hello.
Sometimes she has a hard time.
Yeah,
okay.
Can I just briefly explain? I live in Sri Lanka. It's very early in the morning. I live alongside a railway track, and there's a number of trains go by. And I also live, there's a temple, a Buddhist temple, just up from where I live, and they do a lot of chanting, which is beautiful, but sometimes they use loudspeakers. And I'm always having to mute myself, which is very frustrating, and that's why it's been very difficult for me to put myself forward as a coach. So
mm-hmm.
I just have to listen. I'm really sorry. Yeah.
So you don't want to coach? Is that what you're saying?
I like to coach, but I'm always being interrupted by having to mute myself with the trains. And also we get a lot of power cuts because it's monsoon right now, and I just lose power. So
okay.
I just listen. I listen while I can, or I'll listen to the replay.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Thanks.
Let's see. Yes, you're welcome, of course. Amy, I see that you haven't coached for the last few classes. How about you?
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
I had a sneaking suspicion you were going to call my name, so let's go.
Psychic, huh? All right.
Well, no, because I kept telling myself I was going to volunteer to coach tonight, and then I chicken out at the last minute, so it's kind of nice that you helped me.
There's nothing to chicken out about. You know, you're paying money to do this. You may as well do it where you can get some help or some feedback, you know, right?
Very true. Absolutely.
This isn't about perfection or a performance. Really, you know, it's just practice. Stakes are very low. So don't make them bigger than they are in your head.
Well,
thank you for volunteering. Okay. Let's find you a client. Let's see. Laura?
Hi.
Hi. Well, you were client, what? I don't see you were client recently. Would you like to have that role this evening?
Sure. Actually, the timing's really good, interestingly.
Okay, good. Perfect. So Amy is going to coach Laura.
All right. Hi, Laura.
Hey, honey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I caught the giggles because I just had half a glass of wine. Oh, my God. Honestly, you know, Amy, I'm gonna jump in just because we're obviously all in this class together, and I'm going to ask you if we can do some mind-body stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason I'm asking this is I started a new job last week on Monday, and everything's going fine. And today I was in the middle of a meeting, and it was a very strange day in our office. The temperature in Toronto is very, very hot right now. It's very hot and very muggy. And I guess they turn the air conditioning off on the weekend in the building. I work in a very old building. It's kind of cool, but it's very cranky, and it's not consistent as far as heating and cooling. Like, you have hot pockets and cool pockets. And virtually everybody was complaining about the heat today. And I walked into one person's office for a late afternoon meeting, and his office was blessedly cool. And I just turned my head the wrong way, and I got this massive knot in my back, my upper back. And I ran to the chiropractor after work because I knew if I don't get some immediate help, this is going to turn into something nasty. So, of course, you know, I go home after that, and I'm thinking, what the hell is this telling me? And I thought, okay, this is a good opportunity to explore this. So I'm going to ask you.
All righty. So let's do this, Laura. Are you sitting comfortably?
Yes, I am right now.
Okay, legs and arms uncrossed so we don't disrupt the flow of energy?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. First of all, let's go ahead and close your eyes.
Okay.
Go ahead and take a big, deep breath in and slowly exhale. And as you exhale, just feel your body start to relax from the top of your head all the way down to your toes. Take another one and same thing. As you exhale, just feel your body relax. And let me know when you're ready.
I'm good, Amy.
All right. So, Laura, just a quick question. Can you tell me what was happening at the moment that you turned? Like, was there anything going on at the moment when you turned and felt that knot in your back?
There wasn't anything happening at that moment, but just before the meeting, and it was a brainstorm meeting. We're trying to come up with an idea for a client. It was really funny because I was sitting at my desk and I thought, I'm a week into my new job and I kind of feel bored. And that's the thought I had going into my meeting.
And why do you think you're bored?
I think because this particular role is a very safe role for me, given my background in media sales.
Okay. So with it being a safe role and you're feeling a little bored, what does that mean to you?
Safe means that when I look at my background and my experience in media sales and my last role in particular, it was a lot more complex in terms of what I was selling and the programs that I would pull together for clients. And the kind of dollars that clients were spending on campaigns in my last role were significant. And in this new role, it's funny. I feel like I'm in this sort of battle between, how do I explain this without getting into a long story? I love the property that I'm representing. There's no issue there. I have great respect for the property, the media property, and that's important. It's pretty well 9 to 5. There will be times, I'm sure, when you have to work overtime, and I have no issue with that. That's my norm. But this is actually kind of nice. And there's so much about this job that has kind of fallen into my lap. The way that it came about, the way that they're paying, everything, without getting into, again, long stories. And yet here I am grateful to have the job because I need to work to be able to pay some bills. But yet within this world, the media world, I guess I'm really truly not living up to my full potential.
Okay.
I think that summarizes it.
So just going back to the knot in your back, how do you think this, or why, I guess, what were you making this knot mean? When you felt that in your back, and I know we started the conversation where you wanted to kind of dive right into mind-body, and I just wanted to get a little background information, but what were you making that knot mean?
As soon as you said that, Amy, I'm closing my eyes, and I'm envisioning that the knot means there's a lack of freedom. How do I explain this? And I
Can
think
I probably,
yeah, please go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was thinking, and it's kind of hard to put this in words because it just popped in my head. It's almost representative of a lack of freedom. And by that I mean that whether it was in my previous job or even in I had 3 months off where I wasn't working in between jobs, and I kind of, you know, was working on this dream of building a coaching business and also working on my creativity, like artist. And things were moving along okay, like, you know, slow and so forth, but okay. You know, I took this job because the opportunity felt good. I've been repulsed. Thank you to, like, this course. I've learned to listen to my body. I looked at other jobs and felt physically ill. Didn't go to them at all. This one felt good. It sat well inside my body. So I thought, okay, this is cool. But yet, now that I'm back in the so-called corporate world, for lack of better words, I feel kind of stuck again.
What I was going to say earlier, and this was my hunch, is it's a feeling that you're not where you're supposed to be. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I don't think you're wrong.
And you and I have talked about this. You know, we talked about a week ago. So I kind of know, you know, a lot of the background of the story. And it's a temporary gig, right? Well,
it's a contract. It's a mat leave it's a 15-month mat leave contract. So,
yeah.
You know, there's no, I'm literally not even thinking down that road. I'm taking every day, every week at a time. And right now I do need to work, you know, because of finances and commitments and so forth. So this is a good option to fill that need. But it's not what I envisioned. Like it kind of crept up. It wasn't this isn't the road I was thinking of going down. Even a couple of months ago, I was a little bit surprised. You know, when we had the come to Jesus meeting and conversation, me and my husband, and I thought, oh, great. Okay. I have to get a job. So, yeah. So you're right. I mean, it's a fork. I'm looking at it as a fork in the road that I didn't anticipate.
Okay. We could go in a couple different directions here. I know you wanted to do mind body, and I want to respect that. So if you want to talk to the knot, we can go ahead and do that. We could also do a little Byron Katie, or we could do the metaphor because you just served a nice one on a silver platter for me. So what feels good for you? Do you want to focus on the knot?
No, you know what? I'm going to bow to your skill as a coach. because when we get muddled up, right, as an individual, I'm thinking one thing, but it may be because I'm avoiding the other thing that's maybe a better road. so So I bow to you and your instinct and skill as a coach.
Yeah, what's kind of screaming to me right now is to work on I'm not where I'm supposed to be.
Not?
I'm not.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Yeah, it's very funny, actually. Oh, gosh. Anyway, yeah, so go ahead, Amy, please.
All right. So let's do this one, Laura. So I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Is that true, Laura?
Probably yes.
Okay. Can you be absolutely sure that that's true, that you're not where you're supposed to be?
No. I mean, there are no absolutes, so it's not absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. And when you're believing this thought that you're not where you're supposed to be, and I'm speaking specifically to this new job, so when you're believing that thought,
mm-hmm.
how do you react? What happens? What comes up for you when you're believing that thought?
When I think that I am not where I'm supposed to be, the first thing that happens is that my heart starts beating a little bit faster. Not crazy, but a little bit faster, which usually means I'm anxious. I feel tired, a little bit angry, and a little bit of frustration because I'm putting off my dream or dreams again.
What are you angry at, Laura? What or who?
Probably a combination of, like, me and my husband.
Why are you angry at your husband?
It's funny because as you say that and as I'm sort of thinking, why am I angry at him? I feel there's a part of me that feels that I shouldn't be angry at him because there are so many things that I feel grateful for in our lives. The life that we have built together, we're not desperate by any means in terms of finances. And we live a good life. We have a very good life. We travel and, you know, all sorts of really cool things. But so I think what it is that my dream, the person that I am today and the dreams that I have today are different than when I first met David. And as much as he's very supportive of my dreams, I mean, from the get-go, even the coaching, he was always, this is awesome, go for it. He's very, very supportive. You know, when I have to put all that, I'm going to say aside, although I'm not putting it aside, but or temporarily, you know, I have to pursue these things part-time because of this other need, you know, I feel a little bit angry because I feel like I've done that through my whole life, not just with him. It goes back pre-David, family, et cetera, et cetera.
And when you're feeling that you shouldn't be angry, because you said you have, you know, you feel angry, but yet you shouldn't be angry. Where do you feel that? Because that to me sounds like it's a little bit of a tug of war within yourself. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, it is a little bit of a tug of war because, you know, hey, Amy?
Yeah.
Are you still in the work on I'm not where I'm supposed to be, or have you gotten off into some other territory here?
Well, I was still in that question number 3, Terry, and I was just kind of following along, like, based on the answer she
mm-hmm.
was giving. Because I didn't want to just dismiss that. So I was just going to go a little bit further before going into question number 4. What are your thoughts?
Okay. My thoughts are she's deep in a story here.
Okay, and the question is, how do you react and what happens when you believe that you're not where you're supposed to be in this job, you see?
So you're
kind of letting her get into the story of her life and her history with having to do things she doesn't want to do.
Okay, gotcha. So just kind of
I just reel it in a little bit. That would
Perfect.
Be my suggestion. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you, thank you.
But certainly note what she's saying for other coaching. Mm-hmm. Because
yeah.
I think you're right. It's significant, too. There's a whole history okay. here. But it might be too much to bite at this with this one go with the work.
Got it. Okay. Thank you,
yeah.
Terry. Okay.
You're still welcome.
Okay. All righty, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this thought, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Is this a feeling that brings stress or peace into your life?
More on the stress side.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not horrible. Like, it's not unbearable by any means, but, you know, definitely it's not a happy thought.
Right, right. And can you see a reason to drop this thought? I'm not asking you to drop it, but can you see a reason to drop, I'm not where I'm supposed to be?
Well, I mean, if I'm able to drop that thought and embrace, this is my thinking, if I'm able to embrace this job for what it is and knowing that it's not forever, that makes me feel less stressed about it. It
mm-hmm.
serves a purpose. Right now, it's as good, it's probably one of the best possible places I can be in the media world, in my old world, and serve the purpose that it needs to serve at this point in my life.
Okay. All right. So, Laura, what I'd like you to do, go ahead and close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Take another big, giant breath in and slowly exhale. And I want you to imagine you're going to go to sleep tonight. You're going to wake up in the morning, and this thought is going to just be wiped out of your mind, just like zapped out. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not where I'm supposed to be. So I want you to open your eyes and imagine that it is impossible for you to think that thought. Take a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Sit with that for a minute. If who or what would you be? What would be different without that thought, I'm not where I'm supposed to be?
I think that without that thought, I would feel lighter, lighter in spirit is the sense that I'm getting. My eyes are still closed as I say this. I feel that I wouldn't have this knot in my back. And I think that I would allow myself to enjoy it more.
Anything else that comes up for you without that thought?
Right now, that's it.
Okay. I just kind of had a little thought because you said you allow yourself to enjoy it more. So I was just thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the thought, are
mm-hmm.
you in the present moment?
I've lost you there. Sorry, Amy. What do you
oh,
mean?
Oh, no, because you were just, the knot in the back would be gone. You would allow yourself to enjoy it more. And I just had this thought of, if without that thought, would you be more present, like in now, as opposed to kind of in the past or in the future?
Oh, I see what you're, yes, I would be more in the present.
All right, so Laura, let's go ahead and do a turnaround. So I'm not where I'm supposed to be. What would be the opposite of that belief?
I think it would be just simply, I am where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And can you find three pieces of evidence to support that turnaround?
Yeah, there's, and I know, again, you and I spoke about this. The way that this position turned up, the way that it all came about, without getting into details for out of respect of time, I think is evidence that, yes, this is where I'm supposed to be.
So what was the debate? Sorry, just based on how it came about.
It's silly things. It's like how it came about, the fact, like, it, you know, was one interview. You know, I didn't have to do the usual, like, it's very common in media when you go for a media job that you're given a request for proposal, and you have to put a presentation together to show your prospective employer what your deck looks like, what your presentations look like. And I didn't have to do that. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. You know, the way that I'm being compensated is very different. It's because the industry is in turmoil, so they're addressing that in the way that they're compensating the sales rep on this particular team, which is really cool. There are just these little pieces of evidence related to the job specifically. And the people, quite honestly, the people that I've met so far, the team, my boss, they're nice people. They're just genuinely very decent people. I don't feel the horrible energy that was in my last place of employment. You could palpable here.
Yeah.
Don't feel that.
Yeah, and one thing you had mentioned earlier when we first started talking was you looked at other jobs and they, you know, you listened to your body, and this one, you didn't get that ickiness, right?
No, it was absolutely total, like, this is cool. You should apply for this. Like, try and see what happens, you know. Whereas another posting for a position that was exactly the same as what I was doing before, but with the competitor, I felt physically ill, like viscerally ill when I read the posting and the responsibilities. And I thought, there's no way in hell I could ever walk into that role again because I would just be a mess.
One thing that you've listed a lot of evidence here, but one thing that just popped into my head is what Abigail's been telling us in this entire program is we're always exactly where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
How does that resonate when we're thinking of the turnaround?
I do believe that. I believe that everything that we do, wherever we land, whatever we're doing in any given moment, is what we're supposed to be doing in this given moment. So, you know, and we take away different things in every instance. You know, good, bad, learning, et cetera, et cetera. And I tend to honestly be pretty positive, like even in the worst situations, try to figure out what am I supposed to take away from this. So, you know, the concept of being where I'm supposed to be right now, it sits okay with me.
Can you think of another turnaround for the original, which is I'm not where I'm supposed to be?
I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm stuck on this one.
I have an idea if you want me to throw it out there.
Yeah, please do.
How about if we add in my thinking? So my thinking is not where it's supposed to be. Does that resonate?
Oh, yeah. As you said that, it's like, yeah. Yeah. My thinking is not where I'm supposed to be. And it's a good point. I mean, it's making me wonder whether I'm just being a little bit too much in my head right now, which I have a tendency to be sometimes.
Can you think of another piece of evidence that would support that? My thinking is not where it's supposed to be.
Well, if I focus on what my, when I'm at work, if I focus on what I need to do, it will be far more enjoyable than if I have my moments where I'm thinking, what the hell am I doing here? you know, because it's only really, truly a few hours a day. I still have my evenings and weekends free to pursue coaching and my art.
Well, and I was going to ask, does this job mean that you can't pursue those other things?
No, no, it doesn't mean that. I mean, the first couple of weeks, you know, are always kind of goofy because you're in learning mode and, you know, learning new processes and clients and all that stuff. So it kind of takes a little bit of energy away as you, you know, but once you get into the role, you know, I should be able to ramp up and get back on the bandwagon with the other stuff that I'd love to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with the original thought we worked on was I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And I don't see another turnaround, but I don't know if you do. I am where I'm supposed to be, and my thinking is not where it's supposed to be.
I think, interestingly, the turnaround that resonates the most is my thinking is not where it's supposed to be.
So, Laura, what are some things you can do? Let's see, today's Monday, right? So this is the start of your second week there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
What are some things you could do this week, even tomorrow, to kind of live that turnaround? Noticing your thinking is not where it's supposed to be and kind of work through that a little bit. What do you think? What would be helpful?
You know, the honest to goodness, I think there's a couple of little things I can do, especially, you know, now that I've got my first week or so under my belt and it's less, you know, the stress of being the new kid on the block, so to speak, is dissipating quickly because truly it's a pretty cool place, is to, number one, schedule a couple of nights or even one night and time on the weekend to focus on my other stuff. Because when I put these things in my calendar, it happens. I don't let other stuff get in the way because it's always easy for other stuff to get in the way. Mm-hmm. And also to take time to be still and to be grateful for the job and what it is bringing into my life and recognize that it's not forever right now. It's filling a need. And it's almost meditative. I can see sort of journalizing meditative thoughts about, you know, honoring that job and doing a good job because I feel it's the right thing to do. And then when the job is over at the end of the day, I can walk away and I can, you know, flip the switch and focus on the other stuff that I really love.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that you can start to notice when that thought is creeping in and try to catch it?
The thought, you mean, like the thought
that you're not supposed to be? Yeah, like if that starts to kind of creep in, do you think that you can try to notice?
I can. I think if I pay attention to my body, like really focus, because I'm pretty body aware, generally speaking, but I think that if I really, truly don't ignore the little signs, then yes. I can sort of look at these body signals, if you will, physical signals, and just sort of rein myself in and say, Laura, what's going on here? And then think, you know, try to think about what's going on in my head and get back on track.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you have some homework done.
Yes.
And we can catch up later in the week if you'd like.
Yeah, that would be great. But this is helpful, though. It really is helpful. Thank you.
I'm glad. Terry, is this a good place to stop? And I don't know if you wanted to get another team to go.
No, I think it's a perfect place to stop. Yeah. So let's talk about what happened. Amy, give yourself a little, how was that? Give yourself a little feedback.
Give myself a little feedback. Fine, yeah. I'm nervous. I don't know what it is about these CTC classes, but I literally just want to go hide under my desk. I'm very nervous. I can feel my heart beating really fast. I love the work. I'm very comfortable doing it. So that felt good. I don't know. I guess okay.
Okay. When you're nervous and you feel your heart beating fast, are you doing anything on your own to work with that?
Well, when you first called my name and before we actually started, I actually muted myself for a second, just did a deep breath. And as Laura was talking, there were times I would just kind of hit mute and just do a, you know, just a deep breath and kind of get myself grounded. So that
Good.
That was helpful. But and I try to imagine that you guys aren't there.
Yeah. You know, I do that when I'm working with a client on a call. It's almost like I have a tunnel that extends between me. If I'm live coaching, too, in front of an audience, which I love doing, when I get to go to the meet and greets and coach live in front of the whole group, there's nothing I like better, but I block out the fact there's 200 people in the room. It's just me and that client, and I'm just zeroed in like them, like a laser. And that really helps. So those are really good techniques. You know, the rest of it is, it's new. It's new. And so let yourself be a little nervous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that a, you know what I mean? If you don't fight it and make yourself wrong for being nervous and you're just like, okay, I'm nervous. I'm going to ground. I'm going to, you know, pretend nobody else is there. I'm going to take a couple of breaths, and I'm okay, but I'm nervous.
I noticed I didn't stutter nearly as much because that'll happen when I get really nervous, and I didn't notice that happening. So that makes me think progress. You know, like I'm getting more comfortable with it. So that's a good thing.
Well, I'm going to tell you that not only did you not stutter, I was not aware that you were particularly nervous.
Oh, well, that's good.
I was paying attention to the coaching. And other than that place where I stopped you, where you kind of let her run away into the past, and it was going to get really big and messy at that point was my concern. And I wasn't sure you did tell me, well, you intended to let it go there. But I know that within the confines of a class like this, if you let it get too spread out, even within the confines of a one-hour coaching session, it's better to take a bite and complete that bite like you wound up doing than to let it get spread out and you've got the past and the husband and I'm not in the right place and, the spot in my neck. And you've got a lot of moving parts there to reel all that back in and put it together. It's really not nearly as effective as what you wound up doing, where she did wind up saying, I feel a lot better about this.
Yeah, I know. I can totally see that.
Other than that one little place, that was it, everything else just went beautifully. Beautifully, beautifully. I thought you did a great job.
Thank you.
And Laura, what do you think?
I concur. I mean, Amy, I didn't sense any nervousness on your part at all. And I felt comfortable speaking with you because you know, you're grounding the way that you were telling me, you know, take the deep breath and then close your eyes. And I followed your instructions exactly, and it really did help me to sort of look, just calm down and just feel. But this is helpful. Thank you, because I will do that. I'm going to take the turtle steps that you, you know, that you suggested, and I'll let you know how it goes.
Definitely. Please do. I would love to hear. And that's another thing, too. I mean, Laura and I, we've been in the same study group. We've coached each other. We met at the meet and greet. So there's familiarity there. So I'm, you know, I'm very comfortable chatting with her as well. So.
Yeah.
Thanks,
good.
Laura.
Now, I'm going to tell you, let me give you one other piece of feedback that I forgot about a minute ago. Remember at the beginning she told you what she wanted you to do?
Yes.
I loved that you took over from there. As nervous as you were, you didn't let her run the session. You jumped in and you said, well, I want to hear a little bit more about the situation and what was going on at the moment or just before you felt that knot in your neck, which was an excellent question. And she got so comfortable that she forgot, or it wasn't that she forgot. She said, you know what? I trust you. You manage the session. And you did that. Nervous and all, you did that. And that was excellent. So, how about that?
Good. I'm fine. I love it. Thank you.
Oh. I love good tears.
Yeah, that feels good. Thank you.
Yes. Well, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. You deserve it. Okay, any questions before we move on? All right. I need some more volunteers. And has anybody come on the call since I called roll? I see more people on here. Anybody didn't check in when I called roll at the beginning of the class? Stephanie?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, okay. You weren't here when I called roll, so.
No, yeah, I got on the call a little later.
Yeah, okay. So, who's going to coach? Patricia, I see you haven't coached in the last few classes. Stephanie, you haven't coached for the last few classes. Sai, you have, oh no, you coached last time. How about you two? Stephanie?
Patricia? I can see the picture of the client.
Who is this?
Stephanie.
Okay. Patricia?
It was beeping, so I didn't hear.
Oh, okay. Coach? Client?
Well, I was the client last time. Not that I really want to talk.
All right. You be the client again tonight, please.
Oh.
Because Stephanie hasn't coached in a while.
Okay.
You've coached more recently than she has.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Take it away, you two.
Okay. One second. Got to turn the timer off real quick. Okay. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
So what have you been struggling with lately?
That's a good question. Cause I don't have anything right on my mind. But
okay.
I could talk about procrastination.
Okay. Can you say more about it?
Yeah. When I have to write, I sometimes really have a hard time to just settle down and write. And just,
okay,
you know, take a piece of it and just take it step by step. And I very frequently avoid. I go do other things, and I'm doing that now. Not, I don't feel as much as I'm procrastinating. You know, it's not like an anxious type of procrastinating, but I'm just not settling down.
Mm-hmm. And what exactly are you procrastinating doing?
I have a big report that I have to write. My portion is not huge, but it's a significant evaluation of a big program.
Mm-hmm. Is it something you want to do?
I do. The thing is, I feel very comfortable to talk about everything I think about this particular thing. But when it comes to sitting down and putting pen to paper, I fuss too much. I become a perfectionist, or I want to say everything in one sentence, and I just don't. It doesn't flow.
Okay. So if we were to almost break this down into parts, and maybe we can figure out what part is the kind of trigger for you. So if you can kind of close your eyes and just tap into your body and be aware. And if we can kind of walk through, do you usually do this at home, or is this something you would do at the office?
My office is my home.
Oh, okay. Perfect. So if you were to go to your office, and we could pause there, and you know you're going to go work on writing this report, do you feel any kind of anxiousness or anything, or you're okay thinking about it? So this,
hey, Stephanie. Stephanie?
Yep. Yep.
I love what you're doing, but I want you to try not to lead her.
Okay. How are
you feeling? And, you know, at what point does that feeling change? Make it open rather than directing her towards anxiety, you see?
Okay. So have her walk.
Yeah.
Okay. Patricia.
Yeah.
So if you were to think about doing the report, at what point do you feel in any discomfort, like uncomfortable feelings?
What happens to me is that I get lots of ideas.
Okay.
And it isn't so much of an anxiety as it is a lots of ideas, and I want to say them all. And so I get a bit jumbled about where to start. I mean, sometimes I do have anxiety, but the big thing is even when I don't, it's like this. You know, if I could just be less anxious, I'd still be like this. So it's a big thing for me.
Okay. Can you talk more about the jumbled feeling?
I want to put all of the ideas down kind of all at once. And I'll have in my mind how everything fits together, but it's really hard to write what's directly in my mind. I don't know if that makes sense, but, you know, it's almost like I can't write and I can't fast enough, and I can't write in this kind of bigger picture. It, like, writing is linear, and what I'm thinking and seeing is not linear.
But you would be able to verbally explain it?
Yeah, I think so. That does sound funny, actually, now that you mentioned that. It's like, why can't I write it if I can say it verbally? Because I think if I say it verbally, I don't have to make everything fit together in a really, really tight package. Because, you know, you can say a bunch of sentences and then wrap it up, whereas I think when you're writing, you have to be straightforward.
And is it true that it has to be wrapped up in a tight package to be completed?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. And is there any way that you can think of getting to that point?
Well, just as you were asking me about, you know, what it's like when I'm talking, is maybe I can try to write the first part a little bit more like I'm talking. And then there's something that the closest I've coming to do that is I've taken a little recorder, or now I have the cell phone, right?
Okay.
But I used to do this when I was writing my dissertation. I would take the little recorder with me when I ran, because invariably mm-hmm. a lot of stuff would come out of the flow.
Yeah.
Into it. And that's almost like putting things down in whatever order and then straightening it out.
Yeah, yeah. So if you almost imagined going into your office and taking that approach, how does that feel to you? Do you still get any kind of jumbled feeling?
I don't have the jumbled feeling because I'm believing that maybe this could be a really nice kind of approach. But there's a part
yeah.
of me that feels like what I'll start to do is wordsmith it instead of,
okay.
you know, think it through. I don't know. This sounds like a lot of writing minutia.
And what is the feeling you're getting in your body when you think of this? Is there something sort of physical and sensation coming up? If you tap into the body compass?
Yeah. What I feel is a tightness in my chest that rises to my throat.
Okay. If you could name this feeling, what would it be? It could even just be like tight throat or tight chest feeling. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. Just so we could refer to it.
Like name them something interesting. so it could be tight throat is fine.
Okay, if that feels good to you, we could call it.
Yeah,
that.
No, it does. It does.
Okay.
I'm just trying to come up with what, you know, something funny.
Yeah, yeah. So if you can kind of feel into this feeling, so you're sitting there, you're imagining, you know, you got this down that you're going to be recording it, but you're still worried about wordsmithing and everything, and you're getting this tight feeling in your chest and your throat. And if you really can just feel into that, and this might sound a bit obscure, but if you could almost grab that feeling and place it in front of you. Did any objects come up? Did anything come to mind? So you're taking it out of yourself and
like,
placing this energy in front of you.
It's like, you know that, it's not quite clay. It's a weasable thing that people use to strengthen their grip.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That's what it's like.
Oh, interesting. And so you're looking at this object in front of you. Does it have any particular color?
It's gray.
Okay, okay. And is that object all-encompassing, or do you still feel any tightness in your chest and throat with that outside of you?
That's so interesting. That's gone.
It's gone.
In fact,
okay.
Squeezing it in my hand.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, neat. So if you can look at that object, really observe it, kind of get the feeling of it, and if you can ask this energy that you've taken out of you, what is it here to teach you? Why is it coming in your life? Does anything come to you? And this will be an answer more just kind of coming from your heart than your head. So if you're really just looking at this object, why is it here in your life? Why is this feeling showing up? What is it here to teach you? Is anything coming?
It's funny. The tension is coming back, but it's more in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I feel something, but I don't have the words for it.
Okay, so if you could do the same thing that we just did with the throat and chest, and if you could put the tension in your head, and if you could take that energetic feeling and place it in front of you, does any other objects come up?
Interesting. It's like not a light bulb, but a shining ball. Like a ball
okay.
emanating light.
Okay. Is the light just like a yellowy color or?
Don't lead her.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. What color
it's
is
it? It's like
the light?
A light bulb. Yeah, it's like a light bulb. Yeah.
Okay. Is the feeling out of your head?
Mm-hmm. But it also makes that go away. That's so interesting. Each time
you
my hand, it goes away.
Yeah. Okay. So if you can now, so you have both of the objects in front of you. You have a kind of the malleable clay to the right, and then you have the light bulb. And if you can direct your attention to the light bulb, and let's try to ask it the same questions that you were asking the clay. If you can ask it, what is it here for? What is it here to teach you? Why is it showing up in your life? Does anything come up?
Yeah, clarity.
Oh, okay. So if you could ask it how it would express positively in your life, what does it tell you?
It tells me it would show me what shape to mold that little gray clay into.
Huh. Okay. So if it could show you how you would mold that clay, what would it have you do?
I don't know, but I keep on getting this image of rolling it out, you know, flat. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's almost move on to the clay because it seems like these two are interrelated. If you could look at the clay and maybe look at it flat because it's showing you to make it flat, what is the clay here to teach you or show you or bring into your life? Why is it there?
Not talking to me.
Okay, so we can move back to the light, and maybe the clay, we can go back to it in a second. So if we can redirect to the light, and we asked it, it told you that it will show you clarity, and it shows that it would be rolling out the clay for you. The malleable clay, making it flat. Maybe can we ask it again, maybe what this means? If it could express itself positively in a meaningful fashion in your life, what would it do?
What would the light?
The light, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sort of just drawing a blank.
Okay, that's okay. So if it could express itself in the positive manner, which in this terms is rolling out the clay, do you see it? Does it change from a light bulb or the shiny light to anything else, or is it still a light?
It's still a light.
Okay. Would that be something you would want to invite back into you?
Would the light be something I'd want to invite back into?
Yeah. Okay. So if you could ask it to positively express itself in your life and thank it for leading you to the next step, which will be the clay, and invite it back. Do you still get that tension in your head, or is it gone once you invite it back and think it?
Try not to lead her.
Okay, sorry.
So I'm putting it back inside me.
Mm-hmm.
Know how it feels now that it's inside me?
Yeah, if it positively expresses itself.
I feel it in my head again, but I don't feel it as tension. I feel it as almost a bigness or a fullness.
Is it a positive shackles off feeling or a shackles on feeling?
you know, actually it's I guess it's a shackles off. It actually feels like my third eye is going crazy.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So with that feeling, and you could focus back on the clay. So keep that feeling in your head, that openness that you just described, and look at the clay, the flatten. Let's flatten it. Really look at that clay and ask it, what is it here for? What is it here to teach you? When you get this feeling, when you think about doing the report, why is it showing up in your life? Does anything come up?
It's the clay. It's the bunch of birds. And then I can roll it out, and then I can use this little cookie cutter thing and make and the story. And I get these gingerbread men cookies type of I don't know. It all seems bizarre to answer my writing this paper, but it tells a story for sure.
Mm-hmm. So if it could express itself positively towards a situation in your life, what would it do? How would this translate into your life?
How would the clay translate into my life?
Yeah, yeah. Or how, and ask it. Not something that comes from your mind, but ask this energy how it would manifest positively.
There isn't a straight answer, but what comes to me is it gives me more flexibility and allows me to create a lot of things out of just one form.
Oh, interesting. So how could that translate into this? So you had the clay. It was almost like a stress clay. Rolled it out, and then you had cookie cutters. Can you see how this could apply if it were to manifest positively?
Yeah, I feel like I'm being led back to the first thing that we came up to there, that if I put a bunch of things down, I can figure out how to put them together instead of trying to have them come out fully formed.
Yeah, and tell me where I'm wrong, but it almost sounds like it's all jumbled in your mind, but when you put it all on paper, even though if it's not in the right order or the pretty package, but you could figure out how to piece it together once it's down, almost like the cookie cutters. You'll get the pieces once it's spread out.
I think so. But my one worry is not to just let everything out.
Okay.
Like,
why? Yeah.
Like, take a piece of it at a time and then say whatever I want to about a piece at a time.
Oh, okay. So that could almost be like the separate cookies.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you were to kind of look at the final, the clay cookie images, and would that be something you'd be willing to invite back into you?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you could thank that for the lesson and ask it to express itself positively in your life and invite it back, how does that feel?
It feels good. I just feel normal now. I feel open and I don't feel tension anywhere.
Yeah. So I guess my suggestion would be almost next time you come up to write this, if you find these feelings and realize maybe the next steps are to piece by piece write them down if that's what felt right for you, and even, you know, take a step back and do the recording. Or how does that translate to you? What feels right for you?
It feels right to me to put things down just in groups, and then work with them and make sense out of the different groups, and just not make allow them to be like more you know, smaller pieces.
Okay. And what are some steps you could take towards doing it this way?
I Well, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because this particular group that I'm working with, we are so late in our paper that we had to write the findings, conclusions, and recommendations before we wrote the paper. That sounds sounds totally bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm talking about how hard it is sometimes for me to write at all, it's actually easier for me to do this because I have some really clearly stated things that I believe comes out of the work I did.
Okay.
And I can almost write to them.
Okay. So if you were to break it down in that manner, that feels better?
That does. It does feel better.
Okay. And does this feel like actionable steps you could work towards to completing?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Does this feel like a good place to wrap up and next steps to take?
Yeah, I do think so.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
It was a very interesting, ride with the putting things in and now.
Yeah, I'm cool. You got interesting insights out of that, though. That was neat.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I'm going to have to remember how you did that.
Yeah. Oh, neat. Thank you.
Okay. Stephanie, give yourself some feedback.
I think it went well. I'm not sure how I did wrapping it up. And then I guess that was never something I've been called out for before is leading too much, so that's going to be something that I have to work on. Just trying to sit back and
Do you know why?
So it's more like coming from them, like an intuitive, they're the
one.
Do
you know why it's important for it to come from them?
Then it'll have more meaning for them.
Well,
they'll be the ones that came to the conclusion.
Yeah, we're all afraid of how inadequate and incompetent we are.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can solve our own problems, we feel better.
Okay.
And when a coach allows the client to empower themselves, and it takes discipline, because you can step back and you can see, just, roll it out and cut the cookies and put them on the plate and stick them in the oven. But you see, you've solved it for her, and she may or may not follow it if she does great.
Okay.
But you see, what we're looking for is long-term transformation. And so what we want to do is empower the client to solve their own problems. So it's not this relationship where every time she gets stuck, she's got to go back to a coach. You see?
Okay.
So anytime you can take steps to empower the client, and one simple way is to not ask leading questions.
Okay.
Make it open-ended. And this has been studied up, down, and sideways. They teach it to psychologists. It's, I'm forgetting right now. One of my best friends teaches this to psychologists, and I can't think of the name of what they call it. I'm drawing a blank.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really the most powerful way that we can show up as coaches, too. So,
Could you possibly, maybe for that situation, just give me examples of what would have been better to ask or say, just so I know in comparison?
Here's how I would have handled it. And then the other thing I wanted to point out to you is, did you notice how every time you said, what's the message this is bringing, she gets stuck and say, there is no message, or I'm drawing a blank? Did you notice how many times that happened?
Yeah, it happened a handful of times.
Yeah, and here's what I think was happening.
Okay.
At that point, you were taking too big a bite.
Mm-hmm.
When I do metaphor work,
I'm
looking back through my notes here. Let's see. You would, let's see.
all right. You said, okay, you squeeze the thing. Let's go back to the thing she was going to squeeze in her hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you said, observe that squeezy object. What has it come to teach you? And she said,
okay.
The tension's coming back. I feel something, but I have no words for it.
Mm.
I think that kept happening because you were asking the ultimate question before she was ready. So you had her visualize the object. What
mm-hmm.
I do is have a conversation about that object. Okay, you see this gray squeeze ball. Where is it? What's it doing? How big is it?
Okay.
How close are you to it? Is it moving? Where did it come from? So you ask a lot of kind of, I like to think of them as kind of relaxation questions to get the client really fascinated with that gray squeeze ball.
Then when you say,
well, now look at it. Why do you, you know, is it, does it want to say anything to you?
Mm-hmm.
And I typically do that by having the client become the object and then do the dream analysis question. So I'll have them observe it. What color, what shape, how big is it? How close are you? Is anything around it? And I'll play with that for a while. Sometimes that's enough and I get plenty. Sometimes not. Then I'll have them become the object. And then notice how the dream analysis questions build too. They start simple. Describe yourself with three adjectives. Then it gets a little deeper. What's your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm here to be squeezed. I'm here for the tension. Something like that. What message have you come to bring? Or how are you here to help? You see how you ease it in.
Yeah.
That's the big question that you want answered, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Why is she getting stuck? So
that's how I
would go about this. Now, what you did was very creative. What I loved was you stayed with it. You know, if she stopped you, she stopped in one way, you kept going. And I loved that perseverance that you have.
Okay.
But I would slow it down. And, you know, I teach metaphor work to the master coaches as well. And the single biggest lesson that I always give them every time I teach it is slow it down. Take your time. Ask the big questions after you've got the client really curious and interested in what's going on. And then, you know, you ask that big question and the answer will just pop out.
Yep.
Make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
So those would be my two pieces of feedback for you. Does that help?
Yeah. Can you maybe just clarify examples of a leading question or two that I asked and how you would have approached it differently? I just want to make sure in my mind I get it right.
Okay. Are you feeling anxious? Does that feel like anxiety? Is the tension in your head? Is it yellow? Even how would it express itself positively? All right, I let you get away with that one because I wanted to see what you were doing with it. Even that's leading a little bit, but, you know, go ahead and take that one. An open-ended question doesn't suggest the answer. How does it feel? What do you see?
Okay.
Is it static or is it changing? You would say, has it changed to light? Do you want to invite it back in? That's leading. What would you like to do with this ball of energy? Or you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so just keeping it very, very general.
Very open-ended, yes.
Okay.
Now, you did help her. It was very creative. And like I say, I loved that you just kept going with it. And you seemed to be very playful and very experimental. And so it was a success in that regard.
you know? And I think she got some clarity, and she got some ways to move forward with this.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, definitely. That helps a lot. Thank you.
Good, good, good. You're very welcome. Nice work, though. Do you have anything to add? Add to that? I'm looking at the name of your client. My notes are
a mess here. Patricia.
Yeah, Patricia. I'm sorry. There it is. I was writing. I was trying to take notes of all of that. It went on for so long. I've got pages and pages. So, Patricia, do you have anything to offer, Stephanie?
Now that you did this explaining of having the person be the object, I realized that it's really easy for me to say stuff when I am the object. So it really is a good way to get people to step out of their minds. I guess what it's supposed to do is step out of your left brain into your right, so that you're coming at the problem from a different angle. Because I could actually, when you asked me, you know, what is it saying to me as me, I was thinking also what the answer was meaning to me. Like I was immediately able to send myself over to that table where I sit. You know? I was just a little bit too attached to who I am already.
Right.
But
I was the clay, and I was talking about what I was doing for me in the dream stuff and some of the things that people have done, mind-body stuff. You really lose that. You just say stuff that you don't even know why you say them. Sometimes you go, wow, that's a weird thing to say. But then it turns out to be something that's really meaningful.
Yeah. So
that's really, really a really added, something added that's helpful. But I thought the process of going about it this way was much better than maybe going through and just doing something with straight my mind, you know, like.
Yeah.
Or either the work or like three E's, three B's, whatever they are.
Yeah, yeah.
The three B's, yeah.
I think you were really right.
Yeah. Okay. Stephanie, don't make any of this mean that you didn't do a good job.
No.
Okay.
Kidding?
Yeah.
Good. You know, you did a great job, and I think the feedback we're offering you is how to make it even better, how to really, when you're going to use the right brain tool, how to really get the client to sink into that right-brained place.
Okay,
so that
they can
relax, and those insights will really pop then. And you've got the kind of intuitive sense to work in that right-brained area. I mean, that was very clear.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you so much for the feedback. I really appreciate it.
Oh, good. You're very welcome. So let's see here. Any questions from anybody before we sign off? Stephanie, I don't hear any questions. Do you?
Nope, I don't hear any.
All right. Here's your homework. Keep practicing and practice excellent, excellent self-care this next week. Just take some extra naps. Get off your backs in a new way. Take some nice walks in nature. Eat really beautifully prepared, good, nourishing food. And come back next week, and we're going to play again. How's that?
That sounds delightful.
Is that good homework?
Yes,
it has. That was super helpful, Terry. Thank you.
Oh, good. Good. Well, you guys, it was a pleasure tonight. Thank you all so much for all of your participation. And those of you who were listening, thank you for your good supportive energy. We could feel you. So I'll see you next week. Okay.
Thanks, Terry.
Bye.
Thank you, Terry.
Bye.
Bye-bye.